Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, for the Tell Del version of the show, we have a guest with us today that's been with us for 13 years, long time for Lifestyles. Very interesting to hear his story. His name is Ronald Spencer, and Ronald, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Del.
So, Ronald, a couple things that are not in your bio, summation-type things that I'd like to get out up front for people so we can introduce you, is number one, where do you live at?
Around the Dallas area, Dallas, okay. Texas.
And also, how many units do you have in various formats? Because you've got them spread out all over the place in different kinds of investments.
Right now, we have right at 100.
And are those the IRO deals or are those the passive deals or the homes?
It's a mixture. So we start out a single family, and those were all, of course, IRO single family deals. And then currently have two apartment communities, or as other people say, apartment complexes up in Kansas City, totaling 74 units. And we've got an IRO deal down closer to Dallas, Texas.
Well, it's interesting because I was looking at your portfolio of properties, and they're all over the place. So you obviously don't have any problem with buying anywhere that you find something you like, right?
Yeah. So I prefer, you know, I-35 corridor. Of course, prefer being in your backyard, Dallas-Fort Worth. We've also ventured to Houston and Kansas City.
How far away is Kansas City from Dallas? I mean, that's quite a ways, isn't it?
Yeah, from Dallas, there's multiple ways to get up, but generally they're all the same, right at 8.5-9 hours with stops. So.
Wow. So you have to be totally comfortable with your on-site management and or management company, whichever you're using, which we'll get into in a minute. Let's go back to the beginning. Tell everybody about yourself and your education, your background, and how you came to be interested in real estate.
So I came from fairly humble beginnings. I grew up on a farm in Marshall, Missouri, which is just off of I-70, about an hour and a half outside of Kansas City. Eventually went to a school called General Motors Institute up in Flint, Michigan, worked for General Motors as an engineer back in the 80s and the 90s. Eventually came down to Texas A&M to do graduate degrees. Worked in the field of engineering, electrical engineering, for about 30 years, almost 30 years. Found Lifestyles, I guess, probably about 25 years into that. And I've been retired doing real estate full-time now for, I guess, going on 7 years.
Wow, good for you. That's great. So let's talk about what drove you to look into real estate or however you got introduced to it.
It was a combination of, I guess, the carrot and the stick. The stick was, or I guess the pain, more so, of working, you know, going into work when it was dark and coming home when it was dark. I think some of that is a function of my personality, working a lot. But, you know, a lot of it was not in my control. And you know, you don't, when you're a W-2 employee, which there's nothing wrong with being a W-2 employee, because we have to have W-2 employees to help all kinds of business activities, but you just don't have the kind of control that I desired. You know, you don't choose when you come into work or where. You might have to drive, you know, an hour. You know, you don't choose necessarily what you work on or who you work with, and you can't raise your income. So, and of course, I was living paycheck to paycheck, and even though I was making well over six-figure salary, it's amazing how that happens. It's amazing how the expenses of life just, you know, pile on one at a time. And before you know it, you're spending every bit of your paycheck just to stay afloat. So I guess the other part of it then was we had a friend in high school who was, their family was a very big real estate investment family. And I noticed that they had somewhat of a carefree lifestyle, and they just kind of thought about things a little different. Not only were they fun to be around, but they also had a pretty good understanding of the world. That's something that was that I've developed through real estate that I was, not unintended consequence, but something that was unexpected. So those two things kind of conspired together. And then, of course, we had the looming financial crisis that was in the news left and right, and the writing was on the wall. And then, of course, Lifestyles was advertising, had just come to Dallas-Fort Worth, and I think it was late 2007. So really, it was kind of a confluence of three or four things.
Yeah, we need to clean some of that up because people can't follow it. Let's go with this first. Where were you at when you were working in corporate America? What city, what part of the country were you living in?
So I was in Dallas area.
And what year was that? You said the looming financial crisis. What year was that?
2007.
2007, okay. You know, you tell these stories, and Ronald, you have to realize that to you, they're burnt into your brains for life. And the other people out there, we don't have any idea, you know, because there's so many things you could have run into in your life. But 2007 was one of those where it wasn't just a looming, it actually did crash. So that's an interesting time. During the 2007 time, did you find any or feel any pressure on your job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were designing integrated circuits that had to do things that had never been done before, and you didn't know if there was really a solution to all the specs that were given to you and all the constraints that you had to deal with. You just had to go into it with a good attitude and work at it diligently.
Spoken like a pure engineer.
Yeah.
Right? If it's not broke, it needs reinforcement. In other words,
no, we're just trying to push the boundary, and when you're up against physics can't be fooled, so you're up against reality.
How about family? Tell us about your family.
I was divorced a couple of years before I found Real Lifestyles on the radio, and of course I'm recently remarried to Catherine, and couldn't be happier. So it's a blessing in my life. Of course, I had to wait 16 years, but the wait was well worth it. So I have family up in Kansas City. I have family down in Fort Worth. And then, of course, my mom just moved to Rockwall, Texas, which is just outside of Dallas as well, from Kansas City. So we've got her down, and we're happy about that. I have a daughter as well.
I'm trying to circle into the expenses thing, because a lot of people are sitting out there with the same problem. And I'm just trying to touch my finger on, if I can, how do you make $100,000 a year and have expenses problems? What kinds of things were taking you over?
Well, I wasn't really spending that much on the home mortgage. I did have car payment. I had a huge child support. The thing is, when you have a W-2 job and you get divorced, they want to take a certain amount of your paycheck. And then there's really no way out of that. So.
Okay, so the child support was big chunk of it. Now I've got what I wanted to know. So that is devastating, especially if you have a big paycheck, because they just look at the paycheck and deduct, period. There's no conversation about it. It doesn't even matter if you have an attorney, they're going to take your money. So moving along here, you came to us at what year? I can't really tell here. It's at 2007, says to present. So did you come in right at the time when the recession was starting?
About, I guess it was January, yeah. Early January of 08.
All right, well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Ronald Spencer and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Del Walmsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
The Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Ronald Spencer out of the Dallas area. And Ronald has retired himself in a relatively short period of time by putting together a portfolio predominantly owned by himself. He has done some other deals. He's signed for some other deals, and he's been in other deals, but he's predominantly an IRO investor. And we're really happy to have him here today because I really think that the IRO investing, which is how I started, is really the backbone of investing. So, Ronald, let's take it from this point of view. You came out 2007. You had some issues, a divorce. You were at that point in your life where things were just challenging. And we've all been there. We've all had that. I've been through 2 divorces, so I know what it's like. And at that point, you have this opportunity in your life to change your life forever. It's okay, I'm gonna play this for the rest of my life in a different game plan than what I did before. So at that point, tell us how you found Lifestyles Unlimited.
So listening to the radio, just I couldn't get enough of it. So just it rang true to me, and I guess you had podcasts back then too. So I'd listen to the podcast, but go back and listen to the previous shows. So it's just real, and it just resonated with me.
Well, you're a highly educated engineer, and I mean, truthfully, guys, this guy's got some education behind him. What was it? What types of things really rung true to you that you thought was a reason to take some action?
So the whole idea of building passive income, putting out some money, investing the money, truly investing, not speculating, but finding deals that you could capture some equity, meaning that if you purchased the deal with the price to buy it and to rehab it, to renovate it, that you are in it for less than what you could turn around and sell it for on, you know, pretty much month 2. And of course, then you putting in a resident, don't call them tenants anymore, but putting in a resident and getting, yeah.
I hear the political correctness running through your veins now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's part of the whole apartment association thing, I think, so. But, yeah, just chunking in that, buying your life back from corporate America. So you just chunk independence, right? It's, of course, there's something beyond independence. But you want to go from that dependent stage, as you teach, Stephen Covey, I guess, where you're dependent on your parents for allowance when you're young. And then when you get a job, you think that's independence. But, no, you're just flowed or switched who you're dependent on. And you can't, if you want a raise, you got to go ask for it. You may or may not get it. So you're really trying to get to that independent stage. That was where I was by chunking in that income. You know, you buy one house and maybe you've got half of or all of your car payment paid for. You get 2 more houses and now you've 2 or 3 more houses and you've got at least the principal and interest paid on your house note, you know, and yeah, as an engineer, we just love that incremental progress. We like to see that there's we like to see the goal, and we actually like to see work between where we are and where we want to go, because we know that nothing is for free, and we're willing to put one foot in front of the other and apply ourselves until we get there. And really, if it's not true, okay, we're going to find out after the one or two deals. But the truth is that it is true, and we keep going.
You know, Ronald, that's a very interesting point you just made, because I'm a type B. I'm not an engineer, but I'm a type B and might as well have been an engineer. And the bottom line is that incrementalization of everything in life, isn't it? It's like you get up and go, I'm going to lose weight. Okay, I'm going to work on 2 pounds this week and 2 pounds next week. Whereas the type A gets up and goes, aha, I'm going to lose weight. 10 pounds, 20 pounds. It's just a completely different way to see the world. So I understand what you're saying. Incrementalization does really sound good to a type B personality. And that's what I did. And so did you. So how many houses did you buy? I mean, I was looking at your portfolio. It's really long. How many houses did you buy?
I think it was not quite 30. It was in the upper 20s. And a lot of those have been sold. So I didn't have all of them at one time. Yeah, I would do two or three per year. Really, I was kind of the slow track compared to other people in lifestyles. He just went way faster than I.
I'm the same way. Yeah. When I first wrote the book on how to do this stuff, I put in there 7 years to retirement. Now they're saying 2 to 5, and I retired in 2.5, but I still, when I wrote the book, said 7. It was that incremental. I put it on a spreadsheet, and I figured it out. If you saved it, what, you know, you could maximally save as a blue-collar person, mm-hmm. how much money could you save up? How quickly could you buy houses? How much would that increase your income therein being able to save more money because you had more income? And I did that whole curve, and it came out to 7 years. Even if you started almost broke, you could retire in 7 years. So nobody here does it. They won't listen to me, Ronald. They started doing it 2 years and 3 years and 4 years and so forth, just going crazy.
They keep breaking your model, right?
Yeah, they do. Now, the one thing you did do, though, that I eventually did is move up to multifamily. And a lot of people get stuck in single family because it works. And, you know, once you find something that works in life, you don't want to give it up. That's, you know, I know it works. Let me do one more and it'll be great. I've fallen into that trap 3 or 4 different times in my life. First on single family, then on duplexes and fourplexes, and then on small multifamily deals. And I just got stuck. Now, you know, now I'm buying other things and, you know, like you get stuck on the same thing. Whatever it is you're buying, going, this is what I know right now. So let's go into what made you and how long it was into your progression as an investor that you decided to do a multifamily deal, and what drove you there?
So I was just really focused on getting that passive income more than trying to build my net worth. Of course, the net worth came, you know, even if you focus on passive income, the net worth seems to kind of follow it. I stayed in single family too long. I think it was maybe 7 years before I decided to make the leap into multifamily. I should have done gone way, way earlier than that, just because you have that sixth way of making the money in the multifamily side, which is the forced appreciation. But it's kind of like the thermostat analogy that I think you've mentioned before, where you just kind of get used to one way of investing. It's working for you and you don't have a lot of pain. And you still don't know if the next level is really for you or if it's really true. But the one thing I've learned is that you don't second guess the wisdom of lifestyles. And I could talk in multiple ways on how I've kind of tried to go just veer off a little bit in one direction, but then been pulled back by the school of hard knocks. So the one thing that I've learned is trust the map. And if, you know, you don't try to do everything, you just teach what you know, and you know it well.
You know why we know it well? It's because we tried all those stupid things ourselves. And I've got 30 years' experience of helping people that have tried those things, and they didn't work. And I was right there to witness it all. We're going to take a short break. Be right back with Ronald Spencer and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley talks about positive cash flow tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought 3 more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise. Tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register today at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Ronald Spencer out of Dallas, and Ronald has explained to us how he had got into single family and became good at it. And as usual with type B personalities and engineers, once you get good at something, you don't want to change. You know, if it's not broken, don't reinforce it, don't upgrade it. And that's not normally an engineer's point of view. Normally it's if it's not broken, reinforce it and or upgrade it. But in this case, type Bs, as usual, don't like to change out of something they know very well and they're very comfortable with. So, Ronald, we're going to pick up here and say, what got you to change? What was the stimulus that said, okay, I'm going to get out of the single family stuff and move up to multifamily?
I realized that in 2015 that I had become a million. Of course, it's not a big milestone for a lot of lifestyle members. They're way beyond that, but it was huge for me. And I realized that I had a lot of equity in these houses, and I was able to sell them and walk away with $50,000 to $100,000. And at that point, I really felt that, okay, I've got extra money here to start moving up in the multifamily, and you know, if I lost it, it wouldn't be devastating. But you know, not that I thought I would lose it. The one thing I've come to believe and understand is that for the risk that you have in real estate, it's quite a bit lower than the commensurate what you would normally think as the commensurate return. But I just felt, I guess I wanted something new. I felt very confident in the ability to do real estate. I knew I liked real estate. I knew that I liked the interaction with the residents and the vendors, frankly. And lifestyles had become such a part of my life that it was such a part of my, you know, extended family. As Catherine says, it's the family you get to choose. And I just believed it, and I just still need to be a part of it, and I wanted to go further.
Well, when you made that decision, let's talk about how you decided what you were going to buy. What was that? And by the way, before you answer that, I'm going to come back to something. This is not for you. This is just for general public. Guys, what's really interesting is that, you know, you always hear about being a millionaire. In this day and age, being a millionaire is not that much. We have people that make $1 million a year. We have people that make, you know, $4 or $5 million a year. So what he's saying is true. There's a lot more money to be made, but that million means something. But then, Ron, what's weird about that is when you sit there and you know you're a millionaire and you've just made it like you did, then you look back at it and what I felt was kind of let down, like, well, this is it. It's like, what's next? What is 2 million? I mean, it took you your whole life to make a million. Go, well, what is 2 million? And you go, man, this isn't going to work unless I 10 times this, 10x this, as Ron, somebody else, one of the other guys would say. But the bottom line is it feels like there's nothing in between. There's not like I'm a deca-millionaire, right? There's no name for this stuff. So you're kind of stuck there, and then you have to decide you want more. So it's a big decision to say, okay, I'm where everybody in their life tries to get, and now I'm going to try to beat it.
Yeah, and it's a balance between remembering that you're doing this for the lifestyle. We're not doing it for the money. But also, if it's fun and you enjoy the journey, then why not go for more? And like I think one of your podcasts was entitled Risk to Live and Live to Risk. It's kind of a circular logic that just kind of comes back around and reinforces. But yeah, it's a lifestyle. It's a investing with lifestyles kind of sometimes becomes a lifestyle in and of itself. And you've satisfied the basic needs. You know, I've got a lake house. You know, I never want to sell it. You know, married a wonderful woman. Just I have the means to support myself. Why not go further? Right? Why not have the fun with people that you enjoy being with who are like-minded?
Well, not trying to put words in your mouth, that'd be unsanitary, but would you say it's actually where you get your enjoyment at some point? It starts to become fun?
Yeah, and it is hard work, depending on which path you go. Of course, I took the lead path first of all, the passive path, but then the lead path, and that is, a full-time job. But you don't spend your whole time there. You want to go through that maturity continuum and eventually be passive and be interdependent and really get all of your time back. But, like I said before, we don't think anything is for free, and we enjoy an honest day's work if we know that when we put one foot in front of the other, we're making not just one unit of incremental, you know, progress, but sometimes two, three, you know, large chunks at a time. So,
walk us through your progression mentally to the multifamily. What did you start thinking? How did you approach it? What did you do?
So, once I had enough money to, you know, the rule of thumb has always been $50,000. Once you have that much, you probably ought to go ahead and look at multifamily, see if it's right for you, because you can get economies of scale to try to, let's say you've got $200,000 to invest. If you're going to try to chunk that out into $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 increments, you're looking at a lot of different acquisitions in terms of single family houses. And you've got to go to this place for this house. You've got to go to the place for that house, although it's really not that much work with the houses. But when you get into the multifamily, you've got that economies of scale. You've got everything under one roof, multiple roofs that are clustered together. You've got generally the same, like we have one bedroom, one bathroom unit, and they're the same. There's not really a unit mix per se, so we could just wash, rinse, and repeat that same rehab plan. So in terms of the management, it's a little bit more standardized. As far as the investing part of it, you make money, and you know, not only the cash flow and the tax advantage and the appreciation and the capture, but also the appreciation, where when you increase the income or the net operating income of the property, then you're necessarily also forcing the value. I wanted to be a part of that, so wanted to give back in a sense, to let other people invest with me, but staying true to the white paper and the lifestyles way and thought process, and make some other people money as well as just me. And frankly, also the ability to go a little faster, go a little bit bigger.
So you started with an 18 unit by yourself, is that correct?
Well, actually I was a key principal. May have been a kind of a dumb move to begin with, but I wanted to have a little bit of experience as a passive first. So that was 120 unit in Waco. And then I upgraded I became an aspiring lead and then did a 34 unit in Kansas City.
Wow. So you did the 34. What was it about the 34 that attracted you? How did you see this as being a good opportunity?
So I had been looking at a lot of different metros because I had come up through the recession and seen dollar per unit at like $13,000. And then now, oh my gosh, it's $4,000 a unit. There's no way I should buy at that level. I was really looking, broadening my horizon. And of course, I have family in Kansas City, and I was up there, multiple times a year. And I was up there, and I told my broker at the time, you know, just look, I'd like to see what deals are here. And they gave me two. And after having underwritten so many deals that didn't work, this one did. And there was, had everything, a lot of things that I was for: pitched roof, brick veneer, central HVAC.
What year built was it? Ronald, what year was it built?
Built 62.
Okay, so still pretty old. What about the other one? You've got a 40 unit in Kansas City also. Did you make them kind of a, well, we're coming up to a break here. I don't want to get into this because it's going to be a good story. When we come back, I'm going to have you explain about the second one and how the first and the second created economics of scale, if so, if they did, and so forth. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Ronald Spencer and the Del Walmsley Radio Show. So stay in there, hang in there. And also when we come back, I'm going to share with you some stuff about our expo we have coming up here. You're not going to want to miss that either. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
My friends, how many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen.
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Ronald Spencer out of Dallas area. And Ronald had purchased, was telling about purchasing his first 34-unit apartment complex in Shawnee, Kansas, which I think is outside of Kansas City. And what I want to hear now, Ronald, is if you could walk us through the timetable of buying the 34-unit, what you did to turn it around, and then how you decided you were going to do another project.
So, yeah, we got it under contract at the fourth quarter of 2017. It was, I think, probably about 5-6 months after I had really kind of become full-fledged aspiring lead in the Lifestyles program and taken the lead certification training, which is the best in the industry, in my opinion, and got closed January of 2018. It was a cash flowing business, albeit low rent, and we just started renovating the units as they became available. So we didn't try to break too many eggs to make the omelet. We just did it gradually to keep that cash flow going and send those distributions out to both, of course, myself and the investors. And we're currently in the final stages of a cash out refinance, and between the money that we've gotten during the normal course of business, what we call a cash flow, and the cash out refi, I think we should be looking at close to 100% return on cash over just over 3 years. So then looked at, got another one under contract, a 40 unit, just less than 2 miles down the street, trying to chase that kind of scale, that kind of rule of 100, and similar kind of deal, bought a cash flowing business, very high occupancy, so that you've got something left over after you pay all your bills, and but also a kind of a value add component where you can go in and reposition the properties, you can solve problems, you can solve the deferred maintenance, and take care of residents, and then just kind of gradually push that rent up to try to create value. And that's where we are right now.
Where'd the 18 unit come in?
The 18 unit was an IRO deal, between a joint venture between my mother and I just a few months ago. That was in Red Oak. So that's very close to Rockwall, where I live.
So we've got three apartment complexes you're operating right now, and where and when did you decide that it was appropriate for you to leave your corporate job and just become an independent real estate investor?
That was more than 7 years ago now. It was just a situation that I was not aligned with management. They were making decisions that I knew to be incorrect, and I just didn't feel like I had the mind share or the confidence that I've had in the past. It was just not a gation. At that point I had more than enough income that I didn't need that job, and so I was just able to walk away from it very politely and never look back.
I'm curious. I have to ask this question. I know it's inappropriate, but I have to ask it anyway. Did the wife come before or after you quit your corporate job? The new wife.
My new wife is just we got married on Valentine's Day this year, so that was almost 7 years after I left.
So she only knows you as a free man, then?
That's right. If she knew how much I was working as an ice painter, she wouldn't be. It wouldn't be the same, I can guarantee it.
Well, that's good, because, you know, they say there's seasons of our life, right, Ron? And you go through these seasons and things completely change as to what's important and what's not important in life. And if you don't change your mindset, if you don't realize that your life has changed, then you really are going to be living in some kind of a zone that's not real. You know, you're not fitting into where your mind says you should be, and things become problematic. So what does the wife think about you being a real estate investor? Anything?
Well, she's really behind it. And so she's, now that we're married, she's trying to get that passive certification, trying to get up to speed where it wants to be. And she's jumping right in. So she's helping here and there as she can. And she's been very supportive.
What does the future look like for your family now?
Well, I have everything that I need. And so at some point, I just really, it's just about me giving back. And then whatever comes my way is just gravy. I'm not super wealthy, but I compared to the average person, yes, I'm definitely wealthy enough. You know, traveling, you know, can't wait to really do some of that. Eventually, Catherine might decide, she loves her job, and she's proud of it and don't want to take that more, but at some point she won't be able to do it, and there'll be hopefully more time for us to get away.
Well, it sounds like you've made quite a transition, right, from workaholic engineer to a self-employed individual that owns his own world, can do what he wants, when he wants, with whom he wants. So it's a great transition. What would you tell people who are sitting out there on their couch right now thinking, I don't know if this is real or not. I'm an engineer and I don't believe it. You know, oh no, Missouri. You had a touch close to Missouri if you're in Kansas City. And then Missouri saying is, I don't believe anything I hear and only half of what I see. What would you say to somebody like that?
Come to a Lifestyles event and let us show you. Missouri is the show me state. Let us show you. It's real.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you being on the show, and I'm really excited about the fact that you've grown so fast and done so much here. Yet I'm happy that you also have totally understood and kept in mind that it's not the money, that it's the lifestyle that makes this whole thing work, and I'm really proud that you're able to carry on that way. For the rest of you out there, remember this. Like Ron said, being a millionaire is not as important as being free. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
For listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.